still knowing the fact that there's nothing in that, it's not.
It's not a very good
feeling.
It's
yeah.
not Hasbin Airsoft.
That's,
welcome.
Yeah.
Yeah, so welcome to Hasbin Airsoft.
Are we actually recording that?
Yeah,
oh,
we've been
recording
the
whole
thing.
Oh, Lord.
We went, even that whole thing involving you and, you know, the stuff and the thing.
And whatever.
So welcome to Hasbin Airsoft. As usual, I'm your host, Megalo. Joining me this week is Dave.
Yep.
Doug.
Good morning, friends.
And the Golden Child.
The waspy one himself.
Yeah.
Mr. Jungle.
Mr. 401k.
So,
yeah, I switched over to IRAs.
I'm a 457b kind of guy, but...
All right.
Cool.
Diversify your bonds.
I'm a 1694 kind of guy.
All right. And now white people hour is over.
Yep.
Our podcast.
So, this past Sunday was the game that we've been hyping on a whole bunch of episodes that didn't get aired.
Yeah, absolutely.
And a whole bunch of episodes that did get aired of this show, which was... It was Cousins Winter, Big Op, Crimson Skies. Mr. Dave here was one of the team leaders.
I absolutely
we were
was.
His disciples for
yeah.
the most part. We'll
for
get
three,
into that
for
later.
About three quarters of the game.
Our
yeah.
PSD, PTSD.
Yeah.
Some of us left before lunchtime.
So let's actually get into this. When did Steve approach you from behind?
Actually, I mean, Steve...
when he was 14 years old.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's all of us.
Are we not doing phrasing anymore?
No, we're not doing phrasing.
I try and pull that out at work, and no one catches it.
Yeah.
She worked in an office with 50-year-old women.
It's true.
It really disappoints me every time.
So, Steve actually approached... Defoe and I kind of joked around about it. We're like, yo, what do you think would bring in a lot of numbers in a big game?
Airsoft GI Tim versus Bob.
General
Kill
same
yourself.
Idea.
Kill yourself.
And it was pretty much me versus Defoe. And we kinda ran with it. We approached Steve about it. And he was like, yeah, fuck it. Why not? Mostly because of the fact that no one really wanted to step up and take commander roles. So you got two people that came to him and said, hey, let's do this. He was like, oh, absolutely. Cool. I mean, we both carry names that people know. The OG guys know us, you know, new players know us, so it's
No, was this before or after the game was announced?
This was way...
Was it right around the time?
It was actually around the time.
Okay.
It wasn't like officially announced until a couple weeks before the game. You know, people had known, but it didn't go up on their Facebook until a couple weeks before.
Now, like, leading up to the game, they had decent pre-registration?
Yeah, they had over...
It was like 102 pre-regs
the
day
up to the day of.
Well, that was only when they moved it back, because I was catching up with Steve beforehand, and that first date, they only had like 60 people pre-regged. They almost like got the same amount in that 2 weeks that they delayed it because of the blizzard the few days beforehand.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think by day of, there was about 100, almost 120.
About
120 registration.
Like, gates open, there were about 100, 125 pre-regs.
And then everyone else was a walk-on, which was easily another 110 people.
I think you said it was like 115 total or something.
Yeah.
Great, awesome turnout for the game.
Phenomenal turnout.
Yeah. The only issue that it kind of caused was that, you know, they sized the field for like 130 players-ish.
Not 225.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, it was great seeing all those people out there and actually, like...
So many old faces.
So many, a lot of old faces. And getting everyone together to go do that, it was awesome. But it's, you know, as Mike had said, it was sized for a 100 person game.
That
and honestly, that's because typically for Crimson Skies games, because we've each been to at least one or two, you get a solid 100, and pretty much it's like everyone who pre-regs and, like, you know, the five people who live out that far who were driving by and saw cars there and decided to come back with their shit.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I would honestly say, just based on how the game played out, they could have 300 people on that field, but Army wasn't getting out of that fort because they suck so bad.
I will agree with John's statement.
We definitely saw that firsthand.
Yeah.
We'll get into that later in the AAR when some
Oh, yeah, no,
happen.
I'm not going to go hard in the paint yet on them. But...
Oh, no, yeah, it's going to get an interesting night.
Yes,
going to be
yes,
an interesting time.
How much liquor is in that coffee, John?
There is none, actually.
I have your bourbon here still.
Hi, fam.
There
you
is some
it?
Now.
Yeah, I want to go college professor.
Ooh, good choice.
Make a...
So actually,
continue.
John, what made you, other than the fact that, like, the just wanting to go out and, like, seeing all the old school guys, what else made you want to go and play Crimson Skies?
It's tradition. You know, it's just something that, it breaks up the winter rut in the northeast of...
Okay.
There's nothing going out there. Well, nothing really going on. I don't really play indoor.
Let's be real here. None of us play indoor.
No.
Yeah, no. I mean, there's like every maybe 5 months I'll get the thing like, I should go play an indoor
field.
How
you living, fam?
And then I immediately regret that life choice.
Yeah, understandable.
So yeah, it just kind of breaks up that, you know,
winter monotony.
November to like March, it's a good it's a good transition game for me.
It also hypes up the spring.
Yeah,
if you have a good game in the winter, I mean, I this is the first airsoft game I played in about about 10 months since we went up to we go Strat Plus or Ground Zero. Whatever.
It was GZA.
Yeah. This is the first time I played since then.
Oh, because you didn't play the random weekend game we did.
No,
he hasn't really had a chance to.
So this, I am so pumped for the spring. So ready to play these spring games to get out to Calverton. Get out to Calverton every possible weekend and and just shoot people.
Doug, was that your first time out there?
Yeah, that was their first time at that field.
Yeah.
Okay.
Not disappointed at all.
Yeah.
No, the field...
Thoroughly enjoyed that field.
And I kind of want to stress... I can't stress this enough, is that the field has a ton of potential.
And there's a lot more from what I was talking to Steve about.
Yeah.
They're not done with it yet, but they also didn't want to keep putting off hosting an event.
Yeah.
To build.
Showing up to this game, proving that there's a market for it and there's money to be drawn... Lets them say, all right, some of the money out of the budget, it's going to go to building stuff up over here. It's going to go to setting stuff up.
Which actually, if and I don't know if anybody else saw their post, but I think on Monday or Tuesday, they had actually said that. They had went on their cousin's airsoft page and was like, listen, you know, thank you guys for coming out. We kind of noticed that there is a want for this. You know, we want to push this forward. Give us your ideas and, you know,
I already
send everything forward. Yeah.
Like a MASH FOB drawn out in my head and how to build it.
Yeah.
Good.
I need coal for a Saturday to fill sandbags.
Oh, that's
there is
no
that
problem.
Whole area near the oil field, too.
No, that's honestly what I wanted to do, so everything's not clustered in the village.
Yeah.
Put it in the back corner by more offset to where the oil field was.
Okay.
But that way you see this landmark in the distance. You have all those wonderful rolling hills back there that you can fight in between.
Oh, yeah.
That was
and
so
then,
cool.
Yeah.
That was so
and then
cool,
back man. There, you would see the actual fog.
That was actually,
like,
one of my two highlights of the day was the oil barrel mission.
That was just eerie as hell. Like,
yeah.
That was
there's
so weird.
No other way to put it.
Yeah.
I mean, because, like, we're coming back from it, and me and Paintball John were the furthest out.
Okay.
And I just turned to him, and I'm like, look, if we take contact, we're just going to push straight at and let everyone else get the fuck out of here.
Yeah. That's really
like, we're just
going to
push right into them.
I think me and John were bringing the oil barrel back, and we had Bob close up with us, and it was you and Paintball John on the
they
outside.
Were, yeah, they were far left watching the ridgeline.
Yeah.
That was good, though, right on the tape line, and then we had the terrain on them, too.
Well, what's dangerous about that corner is there's no cover.
No.
There's nothing. It's literally terrain is your only cover, and it'll probably get to you. Because it's like, I can see them, they're not in range yet, but I have nowhere to hide, I got no cover.
Yeah.
I need to either push forward to them, or figure the fuck something out.
It's that scene from Bravo 2-0.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's
really
let's just lay down in the middle of a desert.
It's push forward so you can do. You're dead anyway, anything you do now is a bonus.
Pretty much.
So, our first objective to start the game, I guess we should put it, there were these like items on the field that were marked with the blue tape.
Yeah,
yes.
They were crates, ammo boxes, they're worth some amount of points.
Yeah.
I actually don't know how many points each one
was worth. The only thing we have a
confirmed
value on are the bundles of money.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because that was one, I think one bundle of money was worth
100
points.
100
points.
Yeah.
So
our first mission, we have a Nerf rocket launcher.
I mean, that wasn't our true first mission. At Game On, it was kind of...
Army's in fort.
So we kind of start pushing, trying to take ground, doing the...
Should we actually establish who was on what teams? So we were all running on the Rebel side.
Yes.
Rebel tended to attract more of the OGs.
It's anybody who was anybody was on Rebels.
Yeah.
Honestly, yeah, it was.
And part of the reason for that was we thought Rebels were going to be outnumbered based on the pre-reg.
We were worse
outnumbered.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Like, because Deo, we were outnumbered by, like, 20 people.
Yeah, but you also got to look at who we had on our side. So
yeah.
You really, we may have been outnumbered, but we were not outnumbered.
What I'm saying is, like, it would have been a fairer game.
Yes.
If it had stayed the original constraints of, you know, hey, you know,
yeah.
It's like 40 versus 60.
Yeah, absolutely. But, you know, hey, it worked out with all the people that walked on.
Yeah.
I mean, there were a lot of faces out there that I hadn't seen in forever.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, Nice Dave came out. His guys, they were actually on the Army side.
Yeah.
I think they were the only OG guys that were on the Army side that signed up for them.
They were.
Everyone else took the Rebel side and pushed some shit in.
You know, game on. We set out and pretty much we sieged Army in the fort.
Oh, big time.
And the fort, honestly, is one of my favorite parts of that field. It's pretty well done.
Yeah.
That fort is, and it's just kind of a testament to the Army team in that position, but, like, we never officially took that fort, because assaulting it is a fucking nightmare.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With that many numbers, yeah, it's a nightmare.
I mean, we could have organized something, like, to really, like, get the hell off the field, but just kind of casually light pushes from either side never really made a dent.
Some people got a foot in the door and clapped someone and got clapped, I think was about as far as it got.
Yeah. Yeah, other than some stuff that happened later. Multiple times. There were a couple people that were like,
AJ got in there.
Yeah, AJ got in there a few times.
John got in there.
Yeah. It was one of those things.
Pretty close with Bob. Yeah. We were pretty much like on the front door at one point.
Yeah. I know we had two returns to the field that had been a while. We had SJ7, the original Super Jew Wyman came out. Straight Cash came out. And Bob.
And Bob.
Sergeant Bob. They came out. It's been a while for them.
Well
over a year for them.
Yeah.
And I know they both got the itch big time. Yeah. So they came out. They had a great time.
Bob and his flotation harness.
And his fucking flotation harness.
24
mid-caps. 25 mid-caps, something like that.
One of my favorite parts today was when Bob tried to follow me through the brambles.
Yeah.
That's a bad move.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, period, anyone trying to follow me through the brambles is a bad idea.
Oh, cool.
And
not
then add
that.
Someone who's bigger than me.
Yeah.
Plus you add the ballerina tutu around him full of mags.
Yeah, so he had the flotation harness on, which is what, Eagle?
It's a Blackhawk.
Okay, so Blackhawk LRAC. Following Mike through the woods, who was wearing, like, an Indiana Jones satchel.
Yeah.
That's about it.
Yep.
So, it didn't really work out well for him, but...
It was one of the dwarves trying to follow Bilbo somewhere.
Yeah. I don't think our followers would understand that.
A lot of people will understand that. There was a movie. If they have the attention span, there were many of them.
I
have no idea what movie we're referencing.
Well, there we go. Our one follower.
Harry Potter.
No. Star Trek.
The history of my people. Actually,
the history of your people?
Yeah, The Hobbit.
The Hobbit?
So, yeah.
With Gary Busey.
What, maybe, I'd say an hour or two, we get tasked with the first objective,
which objective are you talking about?
To blow up the fort.
Oh, that was definitely, that wasn't the first hour. Dude. That was like
45 minutes or so.
That was half an hour, 45 minutes tops. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So, the UN, a.k.a. Cousins.
Yeah.
A.k.a. Steve.
A.k.a. Killer Steve.
Yep.
It is side by side.
Drops us off a rocket launcher and three rockets and says, you have to land two of these in the fort.
Yeah.
So.
Good luck.
Yeah.
Naturally, we get our running backs out.
That's right.
Yep. So, I forget who had it at first.
AJ.
Because he was like, oh, I know how to shoot this thing. Cool.
No,
get me up
like,
close.
We were like, AJ, can you shoot a rocket launcher? And he's like,
I committed war crimes.
Yeah. That's true. We did ask him how his law training was. So,
eventually gets handed off to me somehow.
I have no idea how.
Yeah. So then we just organize this disjointed push. But eventually I get in a good spot at like the 50-yard line, dead center. And I'm like,
fuck it.
I was like, let's see how this thing shoots, because I have no clue.
Yeah.
So the first one, I just try and arc it, thinking I'm going to, like, mortar lob shot this thing in here.
Gone.
Clears the bitch.
You know what
like,
you know what
next area code.
Yeah.
What was that? I think it was the Michael Douglas movie where he gets, like, road rage and winds up with a law rocket that he buys from some gang members.
Oh.
And he, like, shoots it under the road.
That's an amazing movie, too. I can't think of the
what
fucking
the fuck
name
is
of
the name of that movie?
My mom is standing right now.
No, like, it was the exact same.
Yeah, it was, like, the same exact kind of thing. So while he's looking that up, what else? I mean, we got the first shot, John kind of shot into the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, no, I shot in orbit, like...
Yeah, the FAA actually came by the field.
Yeah.
Actually, that's what took the plane down.
Oh,
oh God.
Wow. So, for those who don't know, a plane crashed, actually...
Falling down.
Middle of the afternoon that day, further out east. So,
yeah, falling down
falling
with
down.
Michael Douglas.
Yeah. It's a phenomenal, phenomenal movie. So the second and third shots, I think, one landed on the front door and the second one was in?
The second one cleared the fence, landed right in the middle. The first one, I just pegged the fence. Yeah. That counted. So we got that objective, and that thing is stupid fun.
Oh, yeah. It's a pretty much a tube with a paintball, with a...
With an air tank.
With
on
an air tank
next
on it.
Next game, I'm filling my air tank from my paintball gun and bringing it, and we're not telling anybody that it's going in your rucksack. And,
All right.
Okay.
Just in case we get that Nerf launcher
just in,
again.
Just in case. That makes
just in
sense.
Case we're cheating.
Sorry,
kids.
Being cheating, you ain't trying.
That's right. So from there, we were also, throughout the day, we were tasked with, you know, other objectives. You know, go find these 5 ammo crates or, you know, things like that.
That ammo crate was surprisingly light when I was dragging it.
Yeah.
That big fucking thing?
Yeah, no, I was surprised. I was fully prepared for that to suck ass. And then
I remember later in the day, Steve had come up to me and was like, you know those ammo crates you have? He's like, I need you to bring those to the ammo dump. You know, that over there. I was like, okay.
Fuck
thinking
you.
They're heavy as shit. So I had actually tasked Ralph's guys.
Naturally. Brute force and ignorance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
can that just be their team name?
Yeah. No,
yeah,
it is.
It might as well be.
So I was like, we'll cover you. Get these across the field. They're like, okay, are they heavy? I was like, I don't know. I'm not picking these things up. So just go and do it. And they pick it up. They're like, oh, this weighs nothing.
We get
yeah,
that
because no,
you're old and busted.
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much. But
yeah.
It was, yeah, I can understand that. The weight just was not there at all. And you're expecting so much more.
Yeah, because I'm like, this is big. It's
yeah.
a box. It's called an ammo crate. Like,
it's got these like rope drag handles.
Right.
Yeah. You're thinking like the heavy ones you see at the Army Navy store that
yeah.
you have to like.
I will every time
lug around.
Jungle sees the Volvo boxes, he gets triggered.
No, Steve
like,
said he
trigger.
Had those, and I was like,
yeah, they're out there.
And I was like, Steve,
no,
there's you have those, and there's going to be a well. Is that the well?
Is that the well?
Like I'm not.
I'm not going. I'm not going anywhere near that.
Right.
Carried him.
Yep.
Across the entire Corum field.
Dude,
yeah.
Those things suck so hard.
So
yeah, yes,
there, some of the other objectives were like get to the water well and carry 4
of the
water jugs,
yeah.
like the big pull and spring water jugs that weigh twice the size of Megalo.
Yep.
Were
so
they filled with water?
They were filled with water.
That's inconvenient.
Yeah. So
that's the point.
I mean throughout the day, I was actually on comms with Defo.
Taunting him?
Yeah,
oh, yeah, spoiler alert, the generals were talking the entire time.
Yeah,
I knew that already.
Yeah,
no.
That's yeah.
more for the audience.
I knew it.
Yeah, so,
there.
I mean, it was
we
more along
that,
the lines
but...
of, like, how you doing, buddy? Got another objective. How you doing? You haven't left the fortress yet.
Okay.
I did give it back to him at the end of the day.
Why?
As, like, a show of good faith.
You should have lit it on fire in the
because,
party.
Because, no, because Defo had...
he had a bad day.
He had his jawbreaker, too.
Yeah.
Oh.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, as a sign of good faith, I gave him the hat back.
Right.
That is an eerie parallel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you give him a beer in the parking lot at least?
No.
No, we didn't have any.
Did you give him a Blumpkin?
That's an offline kind of thing that we'll talk
but
about.
Unconfirmed.
Unconfirmed.
But why did your mind go there?
I don't know.
Yeah.
So actually,
drinking since 5.
Okay.
You
fair.
Winner.
Trying to think if there's anything else that was like really, really newsworthy.
Well,
other than the fact of
we started a third faction.
All of my friends betraying me at this game.
Stop betraying me!
Literally the same feeling I had every single. Oh no, we're just gonna kind of stroll into the.
I'll circle back to that after we tell our mercenary
yeah.
story.
Okay,
oh,
study
yeah.
mercenary story. Actually, well, I. Oh, okay. So, Chipmunk got captured.
Thank
and,
God.
And nobody wanted to make his ransom.
No, I mean, he
I'll save the comments I made about his disappointment with this capture.
He complained so much that he paid to be there and is not able to play that they just got tired of hearing him
and
just
him
released him back into the wild.
They ruined his immersions.
No, he paid for the real military experience,
yeah.
but he didn't get AJ throwing
yeah.
chairs off a roof at him.
So
I'm not going to say his name.
So we
he
went
here,
yeah.
But
say John Bucarelli into the mirror 3 times.
No, that's Frol.
Oh,
that's
Frol.
His whole
yeah.
thing. I'm going to give you the military.
Yeah,
experience.
He woke me up.
So throughout the time, I get a thing over the radio from the UN from Steve, saying it looks like one of your guys has been captured. So I find out who, and it was Chipmunk.
All
right. I told Steve to relay the message to just murder him. I was like, I don't want him. Just, you can kill him. It's okay.
To
I'll allow this.
Nobody likes Chipmunk. Not even Chipmunk likes Chipmunk. And the sooner he realized
Chipmunk
that,
was our Jessica Lynch.
Oh my God. So actually, after there was a negotiation, Defo walked into the middle of the field. I met him literally in the middle of playing. We've got all of our guys shooting their guys all over the place. So me and him are standing in the middle of the field trying to figure this out, and Steve's over here like, oh, okay, so let's try and figure this out, and both neither Defo nor I wanted Chipmunk to be anywhere near us.
You should have led me with him into the woods, and I would have executed him.
I think you had left already.
I did,
yeah.
This was after you had left.
I had to go to bed.
Yeah.
I think he would have gotten on his knees, but facing the wrong way.
So...
shot him in the back of the head.
Cole...
I was implying he'd be facing
walks him out of... like, walks him out of the back of the castle. And just, like, leads him off onto the sidelines and just lets him go. Without any, like, prior, like, okay, go do this.
They take his gun?
He didn't have a gun. Perfect. I literally don't think he had a gun on him.
Perfect.
So, they kind of just let him back into the wild. But we tried to, negotiate for Cole, because from what I heard from the beginning of the day, Cole wanted to defect. He wanted to be on our side so badly.
I heard that, Defo wanted to defect.
Yes, that was actually written into the stone. He originally was going to defect, but we were winning too hard, so he couldn't.
Yeah, that would have made people butt mad.
Yeah.
Real butt mad. But we would have had fun.
Joking around, me and him, we were going to switch roles.
Oh my god.
Right in the middle of the game.
You can't just do that.
Says who?
Sure you can.
I mean, come on.
Illegal.
Technically,
what started the mercenary team is when we found out that Defo took SJ7.
Yes.
Yeah. We thought he was leaving. Then we hear like a half hour, 40 minutes over the radio, the army has our straight cash Super Jew.
That's right.
And me and Megal are like, we ain't having any of that.
Yep.
So originally, before we decided to form our own little cartel, we were going to go there with our dead rags on to negotiate for his release.
Yeah.
And then once we set foot in the fort, we're like, oh no, we can take over this place.
Oh, 100%.
Well, so to be a little more accurate, right, the ride over was the best because Steve picks us up in the UN.
Yeah, yeah.
Side by side.
Side by side. Yeah.
APC,
yeah.
Quote unquote, air quotes.
SF as fuck because I'm hanging on the back of it and Jungle's sitting in the passenger seat with a bearded local driving.
All right, makes sense.
With a
holding my M4 and an AK in my hands.
Yeah.
Steve Megalo's hanging off the back.
Sounds
and Rich
right.
is on the side.
For like 2 seconds.
Yeah.
Steve upset him, so we J-damned his village.
Yep. So actually, okay, since I wasn't a part of any of this like uprising that happened, fill me in about what the fuck happened.
We go over there and we're talking to Defo. And we're kind of just like bullshitting at first.
Okay.
And then as we're sitting there, we just take fire from the rebels, like, on the far side of the fort.
Right, like, we're literally around one of the blue barrels, and me, Megalo, Defo, and one other person are talking. We're like, look, what do you want? Like, we have pretty much everything that you could possibly want, so, like, let's talk numbers.
Yeah.
And then BB started flying, so me and Megalo snap into, we're going to press contact.
Yeah.
And right as we're getting into firing position, some dude in multicam comes running, screaming from where the firing's coming, and I look at Defo, I was like, is that guy fucking serious? Is this is what you're dealing with? He's like, yes. I was like, we got you, fam.
Say no more, fam.
So you executed him.
No, he offered us a bundle of money to push his team over the hill, which we then did.
He's like, if you can get our guys over that hill, I'll give you like one or two stacks of cash. And we're like, we got it. I popped two smokes. I was like, when that cloud is big enough, everyone charged through that. My favorite response that I heard is as we're getting ready to push, somebody's like, hey, who threw those smokes? They really smell. And I was like,
what?
So this actually explains why the army team sucked. Because literally it was me and Jungle pushed the hill.
Yeah.
With army providing covering fire from their spawn.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, so actually you guys taking contact, you're welcome for that. Because some other person had defected in Plaid. So I told everybody the sweeping declaration. I was like, kill everyone that's in Plaid.
That was him in Plaid.
Yeah,
somebody
that was me. I was in full on Wu Patch.
Yeah, no, there was a lot of people, other people in Plaid too.
Yeah,
but yeah.
No, because like as I was pushing up the hill, I was just shooting at every rebel,
wildly into the air.
Yeah, so eventually we get real close to the point that I'm like, we might be able to actually take this fucking hill. So I was like, guys, I'm gonna do something dumb.
Yeah,
just let it unfold and take the hill after me.
Yeah,
so I dropped my gun because I was like, it's probably not going to be worth it. I just grab a mag, like a grenade, start running up the hill, like I'm going to throw it over them.
Yeah.
The second I get on top of the hill, there's two dudes literally 5 feet from me with their barrels pointed right at me, and I would just fall down, and I'm like, just please don't shoot me. They're like, but we didn't even shoot at you. Like, my gun didn't even fire. I was like, just, I'm good. I don't need that treatment.
Yeah. Yeah.
And what happened? Army did nothing. They're like, where is he going?
Yeah.
I don't understand.
Yeah.
I'm like, let's shoot at them. They're out in the open now.
Yep. So,
like, they're too busy watching this asshole run just up the trail, ready to just be all tropic thundered.
But they did eventually take the hill. I felt like I had to go, like, like, I don't know, like, the Commissars in Warhammer 40K, they, like, shoot their own men for running away.
I did that
a lot. I was ready to do that.
That a lot this past weekend.
So as I was dead on that hill watching that push stall out, my favorite is that one wooden structure right on the corner of the hill on the trail. Rebels had one side of it, Army had the other, and they were just poking around opposite sides of the building. Till finally someone's like, hey, assholes, switch sides, you're shooting at nothing. And then they finally started shooting at each other.
That's outstanding.
Yeah.
And I was like, this can't be fucking real. Like, there's got to be someone at that corner that he's shooting at.
No. That's
they're
outstanding.
Shooting at nothing?
They were both just
popping
around the corner shooting at nothing.
And then I think shortly after that, I believe Rich had also defected.
And so then eventually when we were all bingo on ammo, we went back to the cars. And that's when we decided to officially make the cartel where we're playing both teams. So it was me, Megalo, Rich, Cole, Paintball John, and that was it, right?
Yeah, that was the core. We co-opted some of Ralph's guys because they just wanted to watch the world burn.
Well, that's, you know, it's understandable. So
So we come back and we help Defo try and get to the well.
Right, because they had the rocket launcher mission to blow up the well. So we were trying to help them get to there.
I know he was like, oh, we took some of the water in the well. I was like, we'll let you take the rest of the water in the well. I don't want to carry it. I was like, if you guys want to do that, go right ahead. But, you know, actually...
Well, that's when Rich...
That's when Rich comes up out of the wood line, and it just didn't seem right. Just out of nowhere, it kind of strolls in off the wood line and was like, hey, so where's the well?
Sounds like Rich.
And at the time, I had put my gun on him. I was like, there's something off. Why does he care about the well? Like, what's off about this? So I was like, you know what, fuck it, whatever. It's over here. So he jingles a grenade in front of me. He goes, so I'm going to give you benefit of the doubt. He's like, you're dead before I drop this. I was like, fair. I'll give you that.
That was my idea, and he told me it would be mean to do that.
Yeah.
And then he goes and does it.
Well, he didn't light it off, though.
Oh, okay.
See, I was, he was going to do it when I left.
He was going to.
Everybody yelled at me.
And actually walking up, as I was walking away, he still had it jingling his finger. And I think Brando saw that. And was like, and just, Brando was just all over the fucking field running with AKs that I didn't even know he showed up with.
Yeah.
And he burned the shit out of Rich.
Good.
And just straight up just burned him.
Good night, sweet prince.
It was a good time.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was another betrayal.
Then we all meet back up.
Yeah.
And that's when you give us the C4 mission.
Yes.
Now, we've swapped back and forth so many times.
In the parking lot, Cole and Paintball John decided to defect to the Army, so now they're wearing camis.
Yes.
So, Army thinks me and Megalo are still helping them out as advisors.
Yes.
And we get the mission from you to go blow up their base, so we're like, this is perfect. We'll let Cole and Paintball John lead.
Yeah.
We'll bring Ralph as the Trojan horse.
Yeah. then... Yeah. Well, so, actually, the mission originally was just get it into any building...
Right, we're like, that's no fun.
Yeah, so I was like, no, fuck it, I'm gonna bring it right
to their base.
I'm walking it right down Main Street.
So Ralph tucks it into his jacket.
Yes.
Looks just super pregnant. So we're like, just...
He looks super pregnant?
Pregnant.
Yeah, because Ralph wore a black Carhartt jacket.
No, he wore a black snap-on Carhartt jacket.
Snap-on Carhartt with a sniper rifle.
Yeah.
That was
And it was 30-mile-an-hour wind.
Yeah. Dude, he was making shots.
Yeah.
That gun's coincidentally for sale right now on Facebook.
Yeah, it was a shooter. It was a shooter build, too. So.
And he was slinging like 4s or 4.2s or something.
Something absurd. So, yeah, they paraded Ralph right in the middle of the base and just set it off. To the best of my knowledge, I don't know if it actually went off.
It did. It did make a lot of noise.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, all it really was just a compressor and a rubber hose. I mean, it's not going to make a whole lot of noise.
And so that's when I'd hatched the plan.
Okay,
so what is said plan?
So the plan was that... We were going to kidnap you.
Okay.
Force you to surrender the hat to Defo.
Okay.
So the idea was we'd come back all triumphant.
Yeah.
All right. You know, veiny triumphant.
Yeah, yeah, from, of course, naturally. Always veiny and triumphant, understandable.
From blowing up Army's base.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea was we were going to burn everyone around you and just gunpoint bring you to Defoe.
I would tell you to kill me, and it wouldn't
just
work.
Just kill me!
So, that's what we were actually thinking. I think Ralph was going to run to his car and get, like, some zip ties to make into zip cuffs.
See, that wouldn't have worked, though. Steve was very, very, like, nothing, no handcuffs, no nothing.
He gave us blessing.
Yeah.
Specifically for you, and specifically
okay,
for right. us to do it.
Fair enough.
This was a
then
very, like,
yeah.
coordinated.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That shit was orchestrated.
But the question is, did it work?
No.
Yeah, I didn't think
because
so.
I come back to tell Rich.
Well, I hear that they done goofed because they were shady, so that's when I was like, fuck, he's going to think something's up with me, Cole, and Paintball John, too.
Yeah.
So that's why when we were approaching, I was real on edge. So I'm like, he's just going to burn me. Like, he's just going.
Well, yeah, because what kind of stood out was, you know, Rich strolls over, and then Megalo strolls over and whispers something at him. So, whether or not it had anything to do with the game, I was I put one in each of them.
We still have not confirmed or denied what that conversation
was
about.
It could have been like, hey, your butt looks great in those jeans. It could have been like, hey, I'm hungry.
No, it's understandable. I would have burned him.
So, like, if you...
Yeah, I mean, General, if you see me whispering near you, just burn me.
So, if, like, it's pretty much, if one of the two people that have, like, betrayed me in this game are whispering in front of me, you're both getting put down. Simple as that.
Yeah. So he just single tap, one in each leg.
Yep.
One in each of us is one leg.
Yes.
One into one leg of each of us is
yes.
one leg.
There you go. So from there, things started like coming together. Like, I'm pretty sure nobody's on my side right now.
Literally nobody.
I had
nobody.
You had
nobody. No one you could trust.
I literally... Swift.
Okay.
Swift was really the only person was like, yo, what the fuck is going on? I'll burn as many as I can before I get put down. I was like, all right.
Best part
I can deal with that.
In the plan, he was my first to kill.
Yeah, that's a smart idea. Because he's the quickest one out there.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
But other than that, it did seem that
when I was whispering, my gun was already on Swift.
Yeah. That's what I kind of figured. And then, like, later on...
Because I didn't know if Rich was just going to go when I whispered, so I was like, I guess I better be ready.
And, like, 20 minutes later, I think me, Jungle, Ralph, Swift, and, like, two other people were literally all, like... Think gunfight at OK Corral circling each other. Just like...
Yeah, so we're like on the path.
Oh,
and
it's bad.
Keep, like, me and Dave keep trading shifty looks because, like, I'll point my barrel
yep.
at his foot. He'll catch me.
Yeah.
I'll move it back. And then I see him move his finger on the trigger and I'm like, all right.
Yep.
So...
Moving in between other people. So it's like, I don't know who is actually going to back me on this.
Right.
But if I can put somebody else between me and him, I have a chance to burn him before I get burned.
Right,
so,
and there were times I was close, but I'm like, there's still too many people on the path, where if I shoot the leader, I'm going to get burned.
Yeah.
And then finally, it gets to a point where I'm like, I can do this right now.
Yep.
Had the barrel on your Pinor bag.
Yep.
And that's when Steve comes rolling through with all the multicam guys, and I'm like, no!
Yep.
I get burned, gun doesn't shoot, and then you retreat off into the woods, and I'm like, fuck it, I'm going to the car.
Because there was a tank coming.
I know.
So
well, it was the tank with the army rolling in behind him.
Yeah.
Rich also talked me out of my backup plan.
Okay, what was your backup plan?
After you burned us,
me
and Rich go to spawn, and I'm like, all right, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to be like, yo, we're on a mission from command.
Yeah.
We're going to be trading some supplies with the army to get position on them, and we're going to make people carry the ammo crates to army, and then just burn them out of army, pick the ammo crates up.
Well, the ammo crates at that point had already been moved over the ammo dump, at least from ours.
Yes,
so you weren't able to take them from our base. And I did take all the money out of it, so you guys lose all those points.
Where'd you put the money?
I had it on me.
Great. Although,
the commander never carries the money.
We did embezzle.
Well, when everybody else goes against me in this, I'm taking
and
all
I
the
also
money.
Embezzled two bundles of money out of him.
Yeah.
Technically,
it was only
one. You got one.
Yeah.
I really only gave you guys one.
You did, and then we got another one from Defoe.
Yes.
We were playing both sides against each other.
But
and
I only had one.
Really, we got three, but one got paid to Cole and Paintball John, who paid it back to you in the end.
Yeah.
And I floated the extra one that I got from you that was supposed to be for that.
How did you embezzle?
I just explained it. I just
explained it.
Do you know us?
Because no one did a bank wreck.
Yeah.
Of course, I can leave it to you guys to commit a white-collar crime during your recreational event.
I mean, yeah.
That's
sorry.
True.
It's just in my blood. It's in my blood.
But, you know, once it came down to, like, 3 o'clock, a lot of people were walking off the field, guns started breaking, people were out of ammo. So hopefully, you know, I was like, okay, let's hold out this last hour. Let's try and get this the best we can.
Yeah.
There were some decent gunfights, not a whole lot left.
No, that's why probably by about 2 is when we went full-blown, like, mercenary mode. Like, we're creating our own fun now for the last 2 hours.
I mean, you blackwatered it. That's understandable.
Happens. Yeah. War for profit happens.
Yeah. So from there, and it got down to, like, the last 15 minutes, I had called Defo on comms. I was like, so, you want to take a selfie in the middle of the village? So I have a selfie of me and him from the middle of the village.
That should be our image for this week.
We can actually put that up on the show notes.
Yeah,
the show notes image.
Put it up on GroupMe.
Yeah, but other than that, we had a great time.
Yeah,
we had a lot of people come out. 225 people total, which was
I think the last game we had that was Jawbreaker 4.
Ish, yeah.
Something like that, and that was how long ago?
Years.
2012.
No.
Yeah, Jawbreaker 4 was 12.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
That was the last one at Quorum.
Yeah, because I still had my Honda.
That was almost 5 years ago.
'89 Honda. How dare you?
So at that point, I mean, there were people that came out of the woodwork for this. There were people that have never played outdoor before that were like, holy shit, this is the greatest thing ever.
There were a lot
of people that were like, I didn't even know like this type of gameplay was possible.
Yeah.
Which is awesome. So hopefully that's going to make a nice push for spring and summertime.
When summer should be awesome.
Summer is going to be awesome because once that stuff is like overgrown,
raptor fields grow in.
Oh my god, this can be amazing! And try and sneak up on everybody.
Yeah, we're doing a lot of snaky stuff. A
lot of spooky stuff.
Get out your checkbooks.
Well, I mean, any closing statements on the rest of the game?
I mean, it definitely reminded... It took me back.
Yeah.
It took me back. Yeah,
it definitely did.
You know, it felt like the old days, but... I know Megala's going to bring this up.
They might have deleted the post I was going to reference.
There were 2 posts.
Okay. Well, I'm just going to, in general, without calling out that herb specifically...
See what I can find.
I think people... And we're guilty of this as well, because we reference it often enough, but... Calverton is kind of here to stay, and everyone needs to accept that and stop putting Quorum on a pedestal, because it was awesome for what it was. It literally is what got me into Airsoft, and for most of my like adolescent years spent every weekend there. But like, it's gone now, it sucks, and you can't not go to a new field because it's you're putting your memories of Quorum on such a high place that you're just not playing outdoors anymore.
That being said, though, I'll always regard Quorum as what started all that stuff, and that'll always be my precedent.
Mm-hmm.
But we've gone and we've played at Grand Zero, we've played at Strat Plus, we've played at now the new Calverton Field, and me thinking of Quorum that way hasn't changed my opinion of any of these games. I've still... When we went to Ground Zero last year, I said that was one of the best outdoor games I've ever played. I still believe that with all the great games we played, all the goddamn Lost Pilots we've had at Quorum, and I still think that I will 110% be going back to Calverton just because of how much fun I had at this last game.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, like we had said before, like this field has so much potential, and not that one.
No, it looks like it got removed.
All right. So there was comments that we wanted to kind of
So I'm going to read out a little bit. I can't pick it apart the way I wanted to because I don't have the material in front of me.
Yeah.
But basically, someone had claimed that this was like the worst Airsoft game ever, that, you know, it was too many players crammed into too small of a field, and a whole bunch of other claims that were leveled. And Airsoft, really in general, any sport, anything you do, is what you make of it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So if you go to the field... And your idea of a gunfight is hiding behind a small piece of wood and wildly shooting until you hit another guy and moving to his piece of wood.
Yeah.
You're not going to have a great time.
No.
You need to move. You need to take an active role in a firefight.
Oh, you got it?
Oh, you did?
Yeah. Because it was on the event page, not their Facebook page.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
So, let me editorialize this real quick. Worst game ever. 200 players on so small field. Again, we got into this earlier.
Yeah.
The original turnout was... about planned to be roughly half.
No more than 120 people.
So that's an event oversight. And even still, it wasn't too bad for 200 people on that field.
No, it wasn't.
It were soft paintball, but not airsoft. It was not speed soft. If you want speed soft, I'm going to drop a name here. Go to fucking Strikeforce if you want speed soft.
That's the indoor style different. Now.
Army has no chances at all. Rebels camp uphill and have just 1 minute respawn time versus 3 minute for Army and no boundaries to attack most targets. The Rebels took an early lead. It is joke. So, first off,
grammatically, it's not the greatest joke.
Yeah.
It's kind of
Army had no chances because, again, Rebels were, for the most part, other than some people, you had to shoot in the butt. Willing to move and shoot and engage.
Yes.
Army was not willing to. And, of course, if you have an aggressive force versus a passive force, guess what happens?
Yeah.
Someone gets poked in the butt.
Yep.
And Army got poked in the butt hard because of that.
Yep. Now, there were times that it was real dicey when we were trying to move up their...
When you press
their hillside flank.
Oh, big time.
Because they had the high ground on us.
Yeah.
So, if Army would have organized a sizable force, they easily could have pushed to the ammo dump and locked out us from one side of the field. They never did that because they were just a cluster.
No, the problem was they had a good avenue into taking the woods and the hill that we ended up taking, and they never did it. Yeah. Even like
because it was too sporadic. It would be groups of like five or six. And
when
then
I spoke to Steve after the game, we were discussing the oil barrel mission. So he gave that to Army 15 minutes ahead of time, and that was one time you got paid off to pull guys out.
Yes.
And still...
And it was actually the time that I got paid to pull people out was... I had already sent you guys on it. So I was stalling with Steve to make sure that you guys got back. To make sure that we got the oil rigs that in the oil refinery that we needed.
Yeah. But so, you know, there was almost no resistance in that corner of the field at that time.
Yes.
And they had 15 minutes before Steve even gave you the mission...
Yeah.
...to get some resistance out there.
Yeah. And there was
like,
nothing.
And they didn't do it because, again, and this happens a lot, where you had people who came to dress up and people who came to play.
Well, Steve said at one point a group of 20 Army guys walked off the field to go take a picture in the parking lot.
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
Yeah, no, that's straight out of his mouth.
Yeah.
Yeah, he went out there at one point looking for Army guys in the parking lot to get them to go back onto the field.
Yeah. If he had the time, or if people really wanted to change, obviously you guys did.
No, there were people that wanted to. I had a spare uniform to change.
Yeah.
And he's like, honestly, anyone from Rebels that wants to switch, he's like, I'll throw you the Woodland jumpsuits that they have here.
Yep.
Like, it was just getting so one-sided at a certain point.
And I'm going to reiterate this. It is the Army player's fault.
Oh, yeah, no, 100%.
Yeah, you both.
Like, definitely. Playing alongside them, it is 100% their fault.
Yeah. And if I hadn't done that, I wouldn't have that opinion.
Right. Yeah.
But the fact is...
You all suck.
Two guys being aggressive made a push that, like, 30 guys jerking off in a corner couldn't do.
Yeah, that's...
One dude running the other way.
Yeah.
There were a lot of misguided
people
out there.
To reiterate, for anyone, if you're in a gunfight, there's basically... like three things you do. You either shoot, you move, or you yell about how much you want to shoot or you want to move. If you're not doing one of those three things, it's because you're hit and you're not allowed to do those three things.
And if you're not shooting and moving, you're dead.
Yeah.
Shoot,
pretty
move,
much.
Communicate.
That's right.
That's it.
It's as Joey always preached during the Raider classes, victory through superior volume. Not of fire, but of your voice.
Yeah.
I can yell really
well. Well, no, there were some Army dudes that were pretty adamant that they were hitting everyone.
Oh yes.
Don't I almost... lost it.
Don't
that
be
one dude,
that guy.
Because it was literally every burst he let off, he was calling for a ref to check that player.
Yeah. So,
like paintball.
In legitimately like a 20 mile an hour crosswind with like probably 0.2 gram BBs or 0.25s.
12s, baby.
Two fives at the highest.
Do weight. Not yell about hitting because unless you have good eyesight and good lighting, you have no idea where your BB just went.
No, there's like, because where we were shooting uphill. Going from light to dark, or from dark to light to dark again.
Yeah.
I couldn't track any BBs.
Yeah.
So in my mind, I'm like, I'm just going to shoot a mag at what I hope is my intended target.
Yep.
Yeah.
And go from there.
I'm going to wait for someone else to stop shooting. I'm going to make a shot. I'm going to try and listen.
Yeah.
Past 75 feet, I couldn't see shit.
There were times...
I was able to see some far out.
Yeah. I mean, there were times, actually, there was one or two kids on my team that were...
At but, the, like, legitimately, it was this guy was, like, hitting. Ref, can you check him? Ref, can you check him?
So get this. The same type of thing, but on my side. So up by our base, there was one kid that was shooting.
Was it Scorpion Grip?
I don't know what it was, but he had a combat machine.
He was like this.
He had a combat machine. And he's like, oh my gosh, there's army guys over there by the ammo base.
Oh, okay.
You know that distance. Yeah.
That's like a solid, like, 400, 450.
Tried shooting at him. And, like, dumped half a magazine. Was like, yeah! He's like, yeah, he's a call it. I was like, dude, what are you doing? I mean,
kid, you couldn't hit that with a real AR.
I was like, dude, I looked at him. I was like, don't waste your ammo. And he's like, well, who the fuck do you think you are? I was like, I'm your goddamn commander. I was like, don't waste your ammo.
The fucking squad leader. Fucking
pretty much. And it was like, come on. Like, know what you're going to hit at. Like, if you're within, like, 50 feet and you know you can make that shot,
yeah,
dump as many rounds as you can. 400 feet, come on. Yeah. Come on now.
Come on.
Please. We've got guns.
Come on now.
Yeah, come on now. We got guns yourself. That we've drummed so much money into that still don't make those shots. So, please.
Pay entirely too much for this gun to not hit you.
Pretty much. Pretty
like, legit,
much.
The only gun I know that will hit at 400 feet reliably is Schultz's SVD.
Yeah. That's pretty much.
And that gun is basically pure magic at this point.
Yeah, yeah. Schultz's SVD from the roof at Staunton into that other building, like, across an entire, like, football field.
It's all outdoor magic.
I was like, good lord.
So we did better than that at that game. We were at one of the bottom floors, shooting onto a roof across the way.
That's awesome.
Nice. Yes.
Bless you.
So any other takeaways you want to get from this game? I mean, did you want to dabble into that anymore, or was that everything?
I mean, kind of like I brought up, because like the points that he made that were inaccurate, I attacked.
Well, and I also don't like, yes, competition that we've said across the board is good.
Yeah.
But it's just a douche move to be on one promoter's page plugging another
one. Plugging another one?
Yeah.
Like, oh, especially for people that have never played before, too.
Yeah.
That was a dick move.
Yeah, that's where I'm like, you know.
I saw that.
Message them privately, like, it's just a fucking.
Because, like, the comment, I think, above him, it was like, me and my son have never played outdoor before. We had a great time. This was so much fun. So
don't
my first
talk
time,
to me or my son ever again.
First time ever, you know, playing outdoor and going to an op like this. His follow-up comment was, this wasn't a real op or anything like that. Go to this game.
Yeah.
And it was an MSATO game.
No, it was...
It doesn't matter what it was.
It was a different promoter, and the one that actually I've never even heard of, or, like, I've heard of, but, like, isn't really on the map.
We'll discuss offline.
So, from there, it's like, don't be that guy. Like, if you had a bad time, take it up with the promoter, and that's it. If, you know...
Or analyze why you had a bad time.
Yeah, or exactly.
If you had a bad time because you didn't win any gunfights, there's a problem with how you gunfight.
Or...
No. See, that's, like, actually doing, like, self-reflection and looking at why you messed up, it's easier just to attack the person.
It's
that...
always easier to attack character.
Yeah.
Always
I mean, I was going to say, if you really have a problem with the game, start a podcast and bitch about it, but...
Yeah.
I mean, that's pretty much how it is.
Probably
get,
like, 7 listeners.
But, I mean, overall,
great. Now
it was
we just
great
caused,
time.
Like, a quarter
two,
of a...
Two other people to think of getting a podcast,
no,
please.
We caused a quarter of a podcast to happen for our 3 listeners again.
We have more than 3.
I know we do. Thank you very much. We appreciate it. We love you all.
Yeah. Mwah. If any of you guys were out there, like, you should have said something.
Yeah, I put that up there. I was like, hey, you know, come out, come say hi.
Oh, I had a weird moment at the game.
Did
someone
you?
Someone came up and he's like, hey, you know, nice to see you, nice to meet you.
Yeah.
And then walked away and I was like,
who are you?
Like, does anyone know who the hell that kid is? Because I've never fucking met that guy
in
my life.
I had a bunch of kids, like, awkwardly head nodding me, and I'm like, don't fucking look at me. Like,
that's just because you're an angry, like...
Yeah, that, I also have,
yeah,
like,
they were
very...
probably afraid of you, and they were like, if I show my neck, it's a sign of weakness, and you won't attack
well,
me.
Well, no, I had a very shitty night before, and I was out there on no sleep, and...
Okay, so you rolled up no sleep, mustache on fucking point, and just
mustache
blasting...
always on point.
Blasting fucking, like, gangster rap, or whatever you were playing.
I think I was listening to Big L.
Okay, so you had Big L going, and
little
of
Big
course,
L never heard nobody.
Everybody was just like, yo... What's up with that guy?
Who the fuck is that guy?
Who the fuck is that guy?
Also, into the parking lot at like 72 miles an hour.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you ripped in. You ripped in.
That's a long parking lot. I was not expecting that.
You buzzed the tower.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pattern was clear, so you know.
All right, fair enough. Absolutely.
Yeah. So, not to tangent away from Crimson Skies, but I think it's time we officially announce it.
You're pregnant?
No.
You're pregnant?
No. I know there's been some interest.
John's in gay.
During, I mean, it's...
Yeah, I mean, he hangs out with us.
It's
true.
Yeah.
True.
I've been doing off airsoft.
We literally talked last podcast about how homoerotic we all are.
True. Yeah. All right, fair enough. So, John, continue your statement.
Everybody missed our conspiracy podcast the other night, so I'm really upset kind of that we erased that.
But yeah, no, I'm very happy we erased that.
Okay, so,
anyways,
John, what do you got to bring to the table?
Because more and more people have been coming to myself and others about Milsom West, Balcar Ridge.
Oh.
I want to make it official. We have decided
that we're not going.
You're not going.
I'm not going.
You're old and busted at 7 1/4.
It's true.
We are officially going NATO. So if you want to roll out,
you're on the Hato fuckboy train.
That's right.
Yeah, we're gonna roll a Hato. Gonna, you know, step up and dunk on some Rust Force, some militia. It's gonna be good.
It's gonna be a good time.
Yeah. So
once again, though, no fat bodies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I
it's
made
the
it,
cove, no fat body.
Oh, that's true.
Like, for your own health. Like,
yeah.
I plan on going for 40 hours. I'm not leaving before that. So if you can't handle that, don't ask me to run with you.
Understandable.
The fuck out of the kitchen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
All right. Understandable.
Yeah, but
so
we'll be there rolling multicam.
It's a nice little announcement.
Yeah.
Something we can get behind, something we can talk about in the next episode or two.
Yeah.
Yeah, because we'll get into, like, kits and our prep for it.
Oh, I fucking got a unicorn rig today.
Yeah?
Is
it a helmet with a unicorn on it?
Are you going to talk about this later?
Are you secretly Unicorn
speaking
Leo?
Speaking of, the best thing I've seen all week was the other night when Jungle was here. I gave him my old 1961 G.
Okay.
Well, the Pantech version of it, but yeah. And, Hobbit modded. So I tried get it on, and it was like a fucking sports bra. It was great.
That's outstanding.
You ever see me wear a small JPC?
It's awesome.
It was worse than that.
What?
It was fat guy in a little coat.
Hold on. I've got a picture of,
tell me of Taz and the medium Cyrus.
I might.
Medium.
I also have the picture of Burner wearing somebody's small JPC.
That was my small JPC.
Was it yours?
It was the
Hyatt
one.
Fit in that?
Magic.
Yeah.
It's like a bib. It's like a lobster bib.
I have the picture somewhere. I'll
like
find it.
The Velcro was at the very ends.
Yeah.
It's a bulletproof lobster bib.
He had patch panels.
It was that, and it was also with the 2002 one?
Yeah.
So I was wearing someone's 2002.
It was like one of the first times I trained with you guys.
Yeah.
Oh, my word.
Like right after I bought, can't say his name's, JPC.
Yeah. Gotcha.
Mo.
But yeah, that's, and with that announcement, that kind of, I think, that brings us to the end. We've had,
yeah.
A good talk today.
It's got a good length.
All right.
It's got a good sound.
It's got good length. It's got good girth.
That's
like,
it's just a healthy
podcast. Our girth issues are in check now.
It's never in check.
We were kind of coke canning a little bit.
Jeez.
Had to peel back the turtleneck a little bit.
Yeah. So on that note, I think that is the end of our night. So thank you guys for listening.
Yeah.
And hit
us up on the gram.
Yeah. The gram?
The gram.
Instagram.
Hit us up on Just Go Hump Off a Cliff.
Hit me up on MySpace.
Hit me up on Kill Your Fucking
Ooh,
Self.
MySpace.
End it right there.
Top 8.
Friendster.